Now we're into the second half of the teaching of Shabbat, which is, in this case, happens to be the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. But before we begin the study of the book of Ephesians, or any study of any of the books that Paul wrote, I have to preface these studies with a quote from Paul himself about what he himself confessed that he believed in chapter 24 of the book of Acts. For it encompasses all of Paul's beliefs after his encounter with Yahweh Messiah on the road to Damascus. Acts 24, 14 and 15 says, "But this I, Paul, confess unto you, honorable Felix, that after the way that the Judaizers, Pharisees, and Sadducees call heresy, so I worship the Elohim of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the Torah, and in the prophets, and have hope towards Elohim, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Now that we know where Paul stands regarding the Torah and the prophets, let's begin our study. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Yeshua Messiah, by the will of Elohim, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Messiah Yeshua." There's a lot said in this opening verse of the Ephesians, of the book of Ephesians, that is missed by most people. Paul introduced himself as an apostle of Messiah, and he emphasized the fact that he is an apostle of Messiah by the will of Elohim. It is or should be obvious that Paul recognizes that if Yahweh had not divinely interceded in his life by blinding him while he was traveling on the road to the derek to Damascus and showing him the error of his ways, that Paul would have continued in his false understanding of who Yahweh is and what he, Yahweh, wanted from him. He would have certainly continued in the false ways that he had been taught all of his Pharisaical life that he led prior to his experience with Yahweh Messiah in the manner that he did on the road to Damascus. This may seem harsh to some of you, but in reality, it is a message directly from Yahweh himself telling Paul and all of us that the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees of Judaism, which in turn is a shadow picture of all man-made religious teachings contained in all the man-made religions of the world and in all man-made religious and or secular doctrines and theologies, for all of them, bar none, actually contain many falsehoods and lies. Yahweh, in his infinite grace and mercy, showed Paul and us through Paul's experience that both Paul and we have to change what we were taught by our religious forefathers. Jeremiah 16:19 tells us that we've inherited lies so that all of us can align our beliefs with the ways and the words of Yahweh, which of course are his ancient paths, the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life, and not the ways of man. Yahweh tells us throughout Scripture that the wisdom of man is as foolishness to him. And the wisdom of man, my friends, is what is found in all man-made religious religions, for their foundational beliefs are all based on their man-made doctrines, their own worldview, and not the pure words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life. Therefore, if Yahweh wanted Paul to change his ways and teach people the true word of our Heavenly Father so that they too could align their ways with the ways and the words of our Heavenly Father, which of course are the words of his inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, the words of his Torah of life, so that all peoples would learn to be holy as our Heavenly Father is holy, then it behooves us to also follow in Paul's footsteps and toss out all of our past man-made religious teachings and turn to our Heavenly Father's inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, the words of his Torah of life made flesh, and begin to believe and obey it all. Hang on, let me say, as Paul taught us to do, for according to Paul, all that he learned from his Pharisaical teaching was dung, which is the same content that is in all man-made religious doctrines. Yes, Gail?
Give me an example of the false teachings, for instance.
How about Sunday church? How about the feasts are done away with? How about you can eat what you want to eat?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
You see, that is something that doesn't relate to me because I don't do it, but I don't know exactly what they are.
There's a lot more than just those, but yeah.
Yeah, how did they ever get to Sunday church?
Well, again, Gail, I've explained it a few times before. What it was, it starts from the beginning, and I'll explain to you after we've gone through this teaching, okay? We simply have to understand that our omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent Elohim has given us, his children, a set of directives that when believed, followed, and obeyed from loving, contrite, surrendered hearts, will lead all people onto an everlasting life in the kingdom of Elohim here on earth, where we will spend eternity with our Heavenly Father and his Son, our bridegroom. Our Heavenly Father, his inerrant and everlasting directives are called the words of his Torah of life, which is filled with his infinite wisdom, wisdom that is embedded in each and every word of his Torah of life. And that is not all, for contained in the words of the Father's Torah of life is the promise from the Creator of all things himself, that if we, his children, willingly and lovingly choose to believe, follow, and obey all the words of the Father's Torah, as he has commanded us to do, that he will pour his blessings upon us, as he promised he would do in Devarim, Deuteronomy 28, where he says, "And it shall come to pass that if you shall hearken, Shema diligently unto the voice of Yahweh Elohim, to observe and do all of his commandments, which I command you, which I, Moshe, command you today, that Yahweh Elohim will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you shall hearken, Shema, unto the voice of Yahweh Elohim. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Yahweh will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come against you one way and flee from you seven ways. Yahweh shall command a blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand unto, and he shall bless you in the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you. Yahweh shall establish you as a holy people unto himself, and he has sworn unto you, if you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Yahweh, and they shall be afraid of you. And Yahweh shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground, and in the land which Yahweh swore unto your fathers to give you. Yahweh shall open unto you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain unto your land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. And Yahweh shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath, if you choose to hearken Shema unto the commandments of Yahweh Elohim, his Torah, which I command you this day, to observe and to do them. And you shall not go aside from any of the words of my Torah, which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after the gods of others to serve them. But it shall come to pass that if you will not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh Elohim, to observe, to do all of his commandments, and his statutes, and his Torah, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now in Devarim 30, verse 19 and 20, it says, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life, Torah obedience, and death, rejecting my Torah instructions, the blessings for obeying and cursing for disobeying. Therefore, choose life. Choose to believe, follow, and obey the words of my Torah of life, that both you and your seed may live, that you may love Yahweh Elohim, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him. Why? For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which Yahweh swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov, to give them. All these promised blessings that are beyond measure, which means that they are endless, are automatically activated in a believer's life when the believer begins to willingly and lovingly obey the words of the Father's inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, the words of his Torah of life. And that is what Paul is telling us here when he is introducing himself to the Ephesians. the next phrase that we have to look at is where Paul says that the message that he is sending to the Ephesians is for the faithful in Messiah Yeshua. What does Paul mean when he says that his message is for the faithful in Messiah Yeshua? Well, first of all, we have to understand who Messiah is according to Scripture, and then we can understand what these Ephesians are faithful to. According to John, in John 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim." In this verse, in John, we are told that the Word of Elohim is Elohim. And in verse 14, we are told that the Word of Elohim, which is Elohim, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, before we can move ahead in our study, we have to define the word Word so that we can get the complete picture of what Paul is telling us here. In Ephesians, in John 17:17, we read, "Sanctify them through your word," or through your truth. "Your word is truth." Okay, now we know that the word is truth. We are just about there. Now let's go to Psalm 119:142 and read what it says there about the word truth, so that we can get the complete picture of what Paul is conveying to us here to the Ephesians. The psalmist wrote, "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your Torah is the truth." Messiah tells us in John 17:17 that the word of Yahweh is truth. And here in Psalm 119:142, we're told that the truth is the words of the Father's Torah, the very same Torah that was given to Moshe at Mount Sinai. Therefore, this means that the word of Elohim is indeed his Torah, the Father's inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, his directives for everlasting life. Now, we have the complete picture, and we should be able to truly understand that when Paul speaks of the saints at Ephesus and their faithfulness to Messiah, he is telling all of us that he is speaking to the saints at Ephesus that are faithful in believing, following, and obeying the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father, his inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, his directives for everlasting life. Okay, now we have the complete picture of whom Paul is speaking to and what he is trying to convey to them and us through his letter to the Ephesians. We can quite clearly see that Paul is telling them to be true and faithful in obeying the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father that Yahweh gave to Moshe at Mount Sinai. Now, let's go on and discuss what else Paul is saying in the rest of the letters to the Ephesians. Verse 2. "Grace be unto you, and peace from Elohim, our Father, and from Adonai Yeshua Messiah. Blessed be the Elohim of the Father, of our Adonai Yeshua Messiah, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Messiah, according as he has chosen us in Messiah, him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." The Christian church fathers believe and teach that the Torah has somehow been done away with, and that according to them, in their theology and their man-made doctrines, the Torah was nailed to the cross. And many of the 60,000-plus Christian denominations of today believe and teach that the person that they call their Jesus gave his followers new commandments, and that he changed the Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday, and he did away with the so-called Jewish feasts and dietary laws, although these feasts, according to Vayikra 23, are Yahweh's feasts, and according to them, he changed much more than just a few things that I have just mentioned. Now, if Scripture is indeed correct, as I truly believe that it is, then what we are told in John 1:1-4, "In the beginning was the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. The same was in the beginning with Elohim. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him, the words of the living Torah made flesh, was life. And that life, my friends, was the light of men." And in John 1:14, and it says, "And the Word, that is Elohim, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." These verses make it very, very clear that Messiah is the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father made flesh. And in Devarim 4:1-2, it says, "Now therefore, hearken, Shema, O Israel, unto the statutes and to the judgments, the Torah, which I teach you, so that you do them. Why? So that you may live and go in and possess the land which Yahweh your Elohim of your fathers gives you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from my word. Why? So that you may keep, shamar, guard the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I command you. In John 1, or no, 1 John 3, 4, whosoever commits sin transgresses also the Torah, for sin is the transgression of the Torah. Now, based on what these verses tell us, if the person that the Christian church fathers called Jesus did indeed add anything to or take anything away from the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father, then that means that he sinned, since sin is defined as transgression of the Torah, which means that if the person that they called Jesus did indeed do what they say he did, then it disqualifies him from being our Heavenly Father's spotless Lamb, which means that there is no salvation available for the people that believe the teachings of their Christian Jesus. Furthermore, we have to ask, where does Paul draw his conclusions from when he says that we should be holy and without blame before our Heavenly Father in love? Well, to get that answer, let's look at Vayikra 11:44. For I am Yahweh Elohim, you shall therefore sanctify yourself, and you shall be holy, for I, Yahweh, am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping things that creeps upon the earth. For I am Yahweh that brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. We are told the very same thing in the Apostolic Scripture, 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be you holy, for I, Yahweh, am holy. Therefore, it is quite evident that Paul already had the understanding that we are to be holy as Yahweh is holy, and that is why he admonishes the Ephesians and us to also be holy and without blame, because it is a commandment from Yahweh. And in order to be without blame, one must obey all the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life, which of course includes all of his commandments. Verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Yeshua himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in Messiah. We're accepted in Messiah when we obey, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. We have to be very careful when we read Scripture and not let one verse stand on its own without supporting it with other verses throughout Scripture. Here in Ephesians, we are told that the saints of Ephesus are predestined to becoming the adopted children of Elohim by Yeshua the Messiah. If we are not familiar with the rest of Scripture, one might think that these saints in Ephesus had no choice since they were predestined by Elohim to be saints. Well, what we have to understand is that Yahweh is omniscient and that he already knows who and who will not accept his message and obey his ways. And because of his omniscience or pre-knowledge, he can and does say that these saints are predestined to becoming adopted sons through and by Yeshua the Messiah. 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of Elohim the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. Obedience to what? Obedience to all the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah and the sprinkling of the blood of Yeshua Messiah. The blood of Messiah is a metaphor, my friends, for the Torah-obedient life that Messiah lived while he was here on earth with us. For Scripture makes it very clear that the life of all flesh is in the blood. Grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. I have to ask you a question. What is the mystery of our Heavenly Father's will? The mystery of Heavenly Father's will is twofold. First, it is his forgiving nature. As we can see in Ezekiel 18:23, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says Adonai Yahweh, and not that he should return from his ways and live. And secondly, it is his infinite love for us, as evidenced by the words spoken in John 3:16, where it says, "For Elohim so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In Colossians 1:25-29, Paul speaks to us and says, "Whereof I, Paul, am made minister according to the dispensation of Elohim the Father, which is given to me for you, to fulfill, pleru, confirm the words of Elohim, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest in his saints, to whom Elohim would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." And what is this mystery? Which is Messiah, the words of the living Torah of our Heavenly Father made flesh in you, the hope of glory. When we preach warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, wisdom is Torah, Devarim 4, verse 5 through 8, that we may present every man perfect in Messiah Yeshua. Whereunto I, Paul, also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. The mystery that Paul is talking about, according to Scripture, is that Messiah, the living word of our Heavenly Father, his inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions made flesh, his Torah, his directives for everlasting life, would by the grace of Elohim, come to earth, and then under the commandment of our Heavenly Father, which Messiah willingly and lovingly chose to obey, he sacrificed himself on the cross and died for our sins, our transgression of the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father. So that those people who willingly and lovingly choose to accept, believe, follow, and obey the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life, made flesh, his living Torah, our Messiah, as their master and savior, may inherit everlasting life at his side in the kingdom of Elohim. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Messiah, the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father made flesh, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Messiah. It is of paramount importance that we understand what Paul is telling us here. And to do that, we absolutely must understand who Messiah is in order to understand the full meaning of Paul's message. At the risk of repeating myself, I have to quote what it says in John 1:1, where we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim." And in John 1:14 we read, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Truth is Torah. We see that in Psalm 119, 142. These verses tell us that the word of Elohim became flesh, which means that Messiah is the words of the living Torah of our Heavenly Father, his inerrant and everlasting word in the flesh. And therefore, what Paul is actually telling us is that our Heavenly Father works all things that are in heaven above and here on earth by the words of his Torah made flesh, Messiah. That means that our Heavenly Father has put all things under the control of Messiah, whom Scripture tells us is the words of the living Torah made flesh, which in turn means that all the leaders of all the countries of the world have been appointed to their position by Messiah, the words of the living Torah of our Heavenly Father made flesh, who, according to Paul, works all things. Let that fact sink in for a moment, and then think of all the leaders of all the countries of the world that we have today, and then know and understand in your heart that it is Yahweh Messiah that has appointed all of them to their position, because he is giving mankind what they want. Please remember what the Israelites of old demanded of Yahweh. They demanded that Yahweh give them a human king instead of himself, the creator of all things. And Yahweh did indeed give them what they wanted. And as we study the scriptures, we can quite clearly see that it did not work out so good for the people of Israel because of what they wanted. Nothing much has changed, my friends. Nothing much has changed. For Yahweh, Messiah, has also given the people of the world what they want by appointing many despot leaders worldwide. It is quite a paradigm shift for most people to wrap their minds around that fact, but it is true. For according to the words of Scripture, it is Yahweh Messiah that does indeed appoint all the leaders of all the countries of the world, and he does that according to how the people of those countries choose to either believe, follow, and obey the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father as a nation, or how they choose to reject the words of his life-giving Torah as a nation. However, those of us who have chosen to believe, follow, and obey the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life are reassured by those very same words that we will receive an inheritance. And what follows next is extremely important for all of us to understand. For it is talking about Yahweh Messiah's saints. And his saints are all the people that have willingly and lovingly chosen to surrender their hearts, minds, souls, and strength to our Heavenly Father in total loving surrender and obedience to all the words of his Torah of life. They, my friends, his saints, are the ones that are predestined according to the purpose of our Heavenly Father, who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should become the praise of his glory, because we chose to believe, follow, obey, and trust the words of his inherent and everlasting teachings and instructions, the words of his Torah of life made flesh. As you can see, receiving Yahweh's inheritance all boils down to whether or not his saints willingly choose to believe, accept, and lovingly obey the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father that Yahweh gave to Moshe at Mount Sinai, in the same manner that the living Torah made flesh, our Messiah, himself did and taught us to do. And that means that we are to obey the Torah of our Heavenly Father with loving, surrendered, contrite, obedient, selfless hearts, which is exactly what Messiah did. We are to emulate Messiah. 1 John 2:6, he that says he abides in him, in Messiah, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. And it's very clear that Messiah walked in total loving, surrender, obedience to all the words of the Father's Torah of life. Verse 13, in whom you also, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. This verse absolutely confirms that the Torah and the gospel are synonymous terms. First of all, let's go to Psalm 119, 142, where it says, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your Torah is the truth. In Psalm 119, 151, it says, you are near, O Yahweh, and all, not some, all of your commandments are truth. In Psalm 119, 160, your word is true from the very beginning, and every one of your righteous judgments endures for how long? Forever. And finally, in John 17:17, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. In these verses, we are told that the word is truth. The word truth is Yahweh's commandments, his word, his righteous judgment, and his Torah. Therefore, we are to understand that all these terms, word, commandment, righteous judgments, and Torah, are synonymous terms, so that whenever you see any of these words anywhere in Scripture, it means that our Heavenly Father is talking about the Torah, the words of his Torah of life, his inerrant and everlasting teachings and his directives for everlasting life. Now, since the word truth is indeed defined as the Torah of our Heavenly Father, then that means that when Paul said that after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, he is actually saying that after you heard the Torah, the gospel of your salvation. I'm not twisting nor changing the words of Paul here, nor am I changing the words of Messiah. I am simply defining what the words mean according to Scripture. And Scripture plainly and clearly states that the Torah is that the truth is Yahweh's Torah, as I have shown above. And Paul then tells us that the gospel is Elohim's truth. And Scripture, not me, has clearly established that the word truth is defined as the Torah of Yahweh. Verse 14, which is the earnest, the pledge. The word earnest is the Greek word for pledge of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The word earnest is the Greek word archabon, and it is Strong's number 728, and it means pledge. What is the purchased possession that is to be redeemed? The purchased possession, my friends, is all the people who willingly and lovingly choose to surrender their wills to our Heavenly Father. They are the ones that are designated as the saints of Elohim, which is just another way of saying that they are the sons of the living Elohim that have been purchased by Messiah's selfless sacrifice on the cross. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your belief, your faith in Adonai Yeshua Messiah, and love unto all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, you Ephesians, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul is expressing his love for the saints, and since Paul is one of our teachers, maybe we should start incorporating a set-apart time in our daily life to pray for all of Yahweh's saints, our brothers and sisters in Messiah. Verse 17, that the Elohim of our Adonai, Yeshua Messiah, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What is the spirit of wisdom that we are to covet from the Father of our Messiah? Let's allow Scripture to answer that question. Devarim 4, verses 5 through 6. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yahweh my Elohim commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom. I'll repeat it. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation, Israel, is a wise and understanding people. Here again, we see that the statutes and judgments of Yahweh, which of course is the words of the Father's Torah of life, is our wisdom. Therefore, we must conclude that the spirit of wisdom is the spirit of the Torah. And Paul told us in Romans 7:14, for we know that the Torah is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold in sin. When Paul says that the Torah is spiritual, he means that the Torah is spirit-filled. And this spirit-filled Torah is our wisdom, because it comes directly from the mouth of Yahweh. And as soon as any words leave the mouth of Yahweh, they are forever true. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of our Heavenly Father's calling, and what the riches of the glory of our Heavenly Father's inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Messiah, the words of the living Torah made flesh, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Here Paul is showing us the omnipotence of our Heavenly Father, in that it was our Heavenly Father that sent his word, his inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions to earth, and his words became flesh and were manifested to us in the form of the Father's Son, our Messiah. He was sent to us by our Heavenly Father in order to teach us the Father's ways, the words of his inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, his directives for everlasting life, and then have the word of his Torah that he sent, the very same word that was made flesh, be nailed to a cross and die in our stead, so that those who would finally understand that it is only by willingly and lovingly choosing to surrender their hearts, minds, souls, and strength to our Heavenly Father in total loving surrender obedience to all the words of the Torah, of his Torah of life, as Messiah did, are the people that will indeed inherit the kingdom of Elohim for eternity. Furthermore, when we read that what our Heavenly Father has done for Messiah, because of his selfless obedience to the words of his Torah of life, even unto the point of dying on the cross for the salvation of the souls that the Father had given him, we see that in John 17, we can see why the Father chose to raise him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly, for far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in which is the world that is to come. This tells us that we, you and I, can indeed rest assured that since Scripture emphatically states that our Heavenly Father does not ever change, we see that in Malachi 3:6 and many other places, that we too, if we willingly choose to walk as Messiah walked, are you still there, Janice? You're way behind. I'm at page 9.
Okay.
This tells us that you and I can indeed rest assured that since Scripture emphatically states that our Heavenly Father does not change, does not ever change, as we see in Malachi, we too, if we willingly choose to walk as Messiah walked, in total loving center obedience to all the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life, the whole time he was here on earth with us, then we too will be raised on Judgment Day as Messiah was raised from his tomb to rule and reign with him here on earth in his kingdom as his eternal bride. This is not a fairy tale, my friends, as some people would have you believe. This is a promise from the Creator of the universe to all people who willingly and lovingly make the conscious decision to believe, follow, and obey all the words of the Father's Torah of life in loving surrender and obedience. It is an incredible outcome for someone like me who once was a sinner in what I believe is the same magnitude that Paul confessed. But now, because of Elohim's grace, the very same grace that Yahweh showed to Paul on the road to Damascus, and the same grace that he will show to all people who willingly choose to surrender their will to his will, that now, because I willingly and lovingly chose to surrender my will to his will, I have an everlasting promise that if I continue in my surrendered obedience to believe and follow the words of his Torah of life, I will reign with the words of the living Torah made flesh as his bride for eternity. That is what dreams are made of, my friends, and that's certainly worth an amen. Verse 22 ends with saying, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the Kahal, Ecclesia, Church, Assembly, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. This tells us that all the power of the omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent Elohim, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, is in Messiah. And Messiah is the words of the Father's living Torah made flesh. Therefore, this means that all the power of the omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent Elohim, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, is in the words of his Torah of life. Amen. Did you stop it from recording?